In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat. You would. So our readings today, well, first of all, before I start, Hannah told me that I should only preach a short sermon because there's work to do after the announcements. And then, of course, Pat Laubach reiterated that business of the short sermon before I started. And I know I have to try it to do it. They both know my preaching style. So anyway. In the first reading today, we hear the first story of a widow. We see Elijah, who was chosen by God to be a prophet during a difficult time when the Canaanites were worshiping the god Baal, who was the god of rain and dew and water, essentially. And in opposition, of course, to the god of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all those folks. And so Joshua was chosen to be the prophet who was to bring a unity with God, and ended up that, of course, he was instructed, that God instructed him to care for the people, to preach to them during a time of a lack of water, of drought. And he lived next to a river. The river dried up. He appealed to God again, and God informed him that he should go stay with this widow lady who had a son. And so when he went there, he made himself known, and she said, "Well, I don't have any water either, really." And the promise was made through God that water would be there, and that the wheat would be sustained, provide sustenance, and that life would go on as they were faithful to the one God, to the God of Abraham. And so we experience in this first reading a kind of a sense of a powerful connection that God continues to have with God's three people through his work, through God's work among us, and how God sustains us on our journey, and that we are called to live in that promise by how it is that we respond in faith, even when there are huge questions, and of course in this case of life and death. In the gospel reading today, there's yet another widow. We see Jesus talking about the power that most people seek after, and authority and prestige, and the kinds of things that are a part of oftentimes the human condition and connected with leadership. And Jesus is calls their attention to the widow woman in the midst of a bunch of people who are giving out of their abundance. Jesus says, this little widow woman gives her penny. And Jesus calls the attention of his disciples toward her, not the rich people who give out of their abundance, but to this woman who gives out of her desire to be in unity with God, even with a small fraction of the what it might be that other people are giving. But her deep desire to somehow connect to God through her giving of this widow's mite, we call it. And so those stories are related, I believe, in the theme of essentially that desire that all of the people involved that Jesus was connected to, that we hear about in the book of Kings, all those people were connected to God because of their deep desire to be in union with God. And in some ways then, that called them into a response of faith whereby they would put into action what it was that they believed, that God would sustain them even if they didn't have wheat or water or any money to give, that God would sustain them because of their deep desire to be in union with God. In Hebrews today, in the second reading, we again hear that theology around what it is that the other readings are talking about, that desire was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, who connected heaven to earth somehow in making the kingdom come alive among us, and it becomes our concern to live into that kingdom by our giving over in our behavior, how it is that we are with each other, in the giving of love, in our action and being generous to those who have need out of our abundance. And we do live in our country in abundance for sure. And how it is that we are to respond, or in some ways not just respond, but to reaffirm that deep desire that we have by our behavior. And all of that is kind of esoteric, a bit theological, but I think it calls us to the fundamental truth and the fundamental issue that the readings are talking about today. That we live in the kingdom of God, and that God will sustain us. We all know the story of the lilies of the field. And that God's presence among us calls us into deep union, which implies a response from us. Some of us, particularly in the society in which we live, oftentimes that means the giving of time and talent. Also means, of course, the sharing of our abundance and our treasures. I remember when I was at Lord of the Streets, and it was actually right here. We had Eucharist every Sunday morning, as they still do, and we would put up an altar right there that faced the people. And one Sunday after Eucharist, I was carrying down the altar with, of course, Bob and Linda, and a guy came running up the side aisle, and I had met him before across the street, but I didn't really remember him very much, and I didn't really, and still don't really know his story, but he was elated. He was so happy. He was smiling. He ran up the side aisle, and I was standing up there. He came up this way, and he says, "Father Bob, what's 10% of 280? And I said, "You got a job." And he said, "Yeah, I got a job. And my first check was $280. And I could read it in his body language and hear it in his voice that he couldn't wait to be able to give back. What's 10% for us? You know, what's the tithe of his 280? And of course, I did the math for him. It's 28, which probably is five times what we got in a collection on a Sunday morning, you know, from the whole congregation. But it wasn't about the money, just like it wasn't about the widow's mite. It was about his desire to be connected to the community and to give back from what little he had, trusting that though he was living on the streets, though he had really no abundance to speak of, he was giving himself over to being sustained by God. Not just financially, for sure, not just financially, but most essentially by what it was that drove him to have that desire for union with each other, and to express that, and for him in a biblical fashion, to be able to give in a way that he had not been able to do before. I don't think our giving really is about the number, although that obviously helps when Larry's paying the bills. So don't forget it. But really, what our giving is about, it's about connecting to that deep connection that first comes from the God of Abraham, that comes from the God whose son, the Logos, came to be one with us in Jesus. That comes from our faith and our desire to be in union with that Jesus, as Paul points out in our second reading today. And to hear the message in the first reading, where the little widow lady is told, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And where St. Paul affirms to the Hebrew community, we live in God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, we will be cared for. We gather around this table to sacramentalize those connections. We gather around the table to be fed, to be given drink of God's own presence among us in Jesus. We gather around this table to sing and to celebrate that union that is ours with the Father, the God of Abraham, through the power of Jesus' life among us, and in the Spirit that continues to dwell in each of our hearts. And so, as we move forward and celebrate today, I think as we think about how it is that we are going to give back, it's less about the dollars, though don't forget it, and much more about how is it that we desire in the next year to dig into our abundance and to share who it is, not just what we have, but who it is that we are with each other in faith. Amen.